time, but He's brought us through a whole lot of stuff. I thank God for all that He is. If you've come in here this morning and you're discouraged, I want to tell you that God is there in that moment of discouragement. If you've come in here weary this morning, I want to tell you that God is there for you in that moment of weariness. If you've come in here and you're torn between one thing or another, I'm going to tell you that right in the middle of that feeling, and it is a feeling, how many of you know that feelings come and they go? But right up in the middle of that, God is right in that place where He wants to direct your path. So I'm going to ask you guys to stand to your feet. We're going to begin in prayer this morning. Lord God, in Jesus' name, Lord, I thank You, Father God, for everything, God, that You've done. Lord, everything that You've already done, God, I thank You for everything that You're going to do. Father God, right now I plead the blood of Jesus over Logan County, God, in Jesus' name. Lord, I ask You right now, God, every person, God, in this city that's cooking drugs, God, I ask that You would expose them, God, in Jesus' name. God, for every dope dealer in Logan County, God, I ask that You would shut them down. Lord, I ask that You would expose them. God, I ask that You would break the bondage off of drugs and alcohol in this county. God, pornography, I speak to it and I tell it to go right now in Jesus' name. Lord, I loose Your peace, God, in Your presence, Lord, in this place. God, I loose healing. Lord, You said that by Your stripes we are healed. So, God, right now, I send healing, God, to every person, Lord, that's in need of healing. God, I ask You right now, Lord, that wherever our little angel sits, God, I ask right now that You'd walk into that place. God, I ask that You'd wrap Your arms around her. Lord, I ask that You'd give her peace right now in Jesus' name. Lord, I thank You, God, Lord, that You're stirring hearts. God, I ask You for a harvest in Logan County, God, of souls. Lord, I thank You, God, for all that You're going to do. Lord, I thank You, God, that You know the end from the beginning. You know the end from the beginning. So, God, we trust You. God, we trust You. And, God, we give You praise right now in Jesus' name. Amen. I thank God for what He's going to do in this service. If you're watching me on Facebook Live, I want to tell you thank you for welcoming me into your home. I realize you could be watching any other pastor right now, so you've decided to watch this blonde-headed chick, and so I tell you, I'm not going to sugarcoat anything for you. I'm not going to sugarcoat anything for y'all. It just is what it is. And God's Word doesn't need sugar. What it needs is to be exactly what it is. God is exactly who He says that He is. He is the Alpha and the Omega. He is the beginning and He is the end. He is the author and the finisher of our faith. If you're in a point in your life where something seems undone, I'm going to ask you to give God a chance. I'm going to ask you to wait and wait for the glory of God to come into that situation because it's on the way. If you're watching me live right now and you belong in one of these seats, I'm going to tell you that it's time to come back to God's house. Watching church on Facebook Live, it is not the same. Now, there are people, they are bound to their home, and I understand that, and I pray that God mends that body and you're able to come to God's house. But I want to tell you something. We are getting on the other side of this pandemic, and on the other side, is life. And God said that I have come that you've had life and to have it more abundantly. And I want to tell you that if you're not connected to a church, you're missing out. I want to tell you if you're not connected in your church, you're not completing the whole walk of Christ that you should be in. You're saved to serve. God did not call you to sit on your butt. He called you to get up on your butt and get up and do something. Now, I know that's rough, but it's rough. It's truth. God calls you to be a doer of the word, not a hearer only. Not a hearer only. And so I'm thankful. I'm thankful for all that He's going to do. I'm thankful for the people that decided to come to church this morning. You made the right decision. And let me tell you something. I'm not into bashing folks, but let me tell you, for every empty seat, I pray conviction fall in this place. Wherever they're at, Christy, I pray that conviction fall. I believe wholeheartedly that we're living in the very last days. What does it say about last days? The hearts of men would grow cold. That's what you see a lot of. You see a lot of folks, they do anything for number one, and it ain't Jesus, it's themselves. They'd be lovers of themselves. And I want to tell you something this morning. I'm here to preach truth. I'm here to preach truth. And a lot of what I have to say this morning is very positive. If that thing hits you, if you're watching me and that hits you and you're offended that I told you to get your rear in church, I'm going to tell you, hold on, because I'm about to really offend you. We haven't made it this far to worry about people being offended. Let me tell you something. The Word of God is offensive. Why? Because it'll cause you to either make a change or to stay where you're at. See, you're either going to be an active Christian or you're going to be a churchgoer. You got to decide what you want to do. You got to decide how you want to live your life. Now, I'm going to preach on something that is very, very close to my heart this morning. It's something that I've dealt with, and I've dealt with it for a few years now. And so I'm going to be very transparent. Behind every good leader, every good pastor is a transparency in them that they're not going to cover up their life, but they're going to let everybody see it so it can help other people. How many of you know when you go through a test, God will give you a testimony? But you got to go through it. You got to go through it. And so, you know, there are situations that come up in all of our lives where we tried our very hardest. There are relationships that perhaps they've ripped your heart out and you can't feel anymore. There are jobs that for one reason or another something went wrong at that job and you've had hurt feelings and you can't get over it. There are situations that come up in life that are very, very difficult and very raw. There are times where we tell God, God, I can't take one more day of this. There are times where we say, God, I don't have anything else to give. What I'm talking about this morning is emptiness. I'm talking about emptiness. It's that feeling where you feel like, I have nothing left. Now, the believer, a lot of us think, you know, if I just act like everything is fine, it's going to all be fine. Look here, God never called you into the faking business or the acting business. God says, be holy as I'm holy. And you know, as I sat on my couch last night, I began to meditate and just ask God, Lord, what do you want to say? You know exactly who's going to be there, God. You know exactly who will pop on a Facebook Live. You know exactly who will get on the website. Lord, what do you want to say? And he brought this up, emptiness, emptiness. There's so many of God's kids that wake up in the morning and there's an empty feeling there. There's emptiness there. And what I want to tell you is if you'll let God, he'll fill every place. He'll fill every place. There's too many saints walking around and they're empty. They're empty. They're hopeless. They're sad. They're in depression. They're in anxiety. They lay their head down at night and all they can do is think about everything that's not going right. See, God has a better life for his kids. God has an abundant life. God has a life that's filled with hope and joy. And so I want to talk about the filling of God, the filling of who he is. Now let's go to Ephesians chapter 3. We're going to look at verse 14. And this is Paul, and he's talking to the people of Ephesus. And what I've learned about God's word is that you can hang literally on every word that it says. Every word, every verse is breathed out by God. Every part of it is relevant. Every part of it can change your life. I'm not somebody, Julie, that usually gets up here and gets into some big theological all of this. Look here, I'm going to keep it very simple. I'm not going to go to a lot of places. But what we're going to do this morning is we're going to hang on every word that God has to say. So in Ephesians chapter 3, we're going to start out at verse 14. And it says, "For this reason I kneel before the Father, from whom his whole family in heaven and on earth derives its name. And I pray that out of his glorious riches he may strengthen you with power." He may strengthen you with power. See, when God saved you, he didn't save you and made you a wimp all at the same time. When God saved you, he said, "Now I've given you victory, I've given you dominion, I've given you control over this earth, and I tell you to have control. I tell you to take dominion." But see, a lot of believers, they don't have strength because look here, they've given everything. Look here, God never calls you to fix it. How many fixers do we got up in the place? You think you got to fix everything. You think you got to make everything work. You think you're the one that's got to fight to make it happen. Look here. What that'll do is that'll leave you with a sense of absolute emptiness. You'll lay your head down at night and there will be nothing left of you because you've tried to fix everybody.
Amen.
And it hurts. Because look here. We can't fix everybody. We can't make everything right that's wrong in this world, in this life. The Bible says, now in this world you're going to have trials and you're going to have tribulation. Why is he telling us that? Because look here, he doesn't want us to be under an illusion that we're not going to struggle. There's struggles in this life. There's struggles in this life. There are things in this life that we're going to struggle with. There's things in this life that'll want to eat your lunch every day. But see, the ingredients of strength is power. God says, "I want to strengthen you with power." With power. With power. See, when you get up in that battle in the thick of it, and you say, "God, what do I do now?" Look here, he gave you power. He gave you authority. He already gave you victory. Now, have you disqualified yourself from it, or you say, "No, God, I take that victory. God, I take that power. In Jesus' name, God, I plead the blood of Jesus over my family, over my loved one, over my children." See, are we absent in this life? No. Be active. Be active in your life. See, when things happen and you're unhappy with them, look here, pray on them. Pray over them. Pray through them. Walk through that trial. Walk through that battle. Because look here. God says, "I'm not going to leave you. I'm never going to forsake you. Now let's go. Let's walk through this." But see, a lot of people, they don't want to walk through the hard stuff. They don't want to walk through issues. God says, "I'm going to give you strength through power. I'm going to give you power. I'm going to give you power." What is power? Power is when you're right up in that battle and you want to lose your cool. But instead of doing that, you hold your peace. And you give God some room to move up in that struggle, to move up in that battle. See, we can't make everything right as rain. But we serve a God that can. There's so many people, and they are exhausted. How many of you, when you wake up sometimes in the morning, the first thing you say is, "Oh, I'm so tired"? I'm not sure if that's a part of being old or if it's a part of just being worn out. But sometimes I wake up, and Jeremy goes, "How do you sleep?" And I say, "Boy, am I so tired." Look here, God wants to refresh you. God wants to renew you. God wants to restore you. He wants to give you hope. And look here, most importantly, he wants that empty place to be full of who he is, to be full of his presence. And so it says here, "I pray that out of his glorious riches he may strengthen you with power." with power through His Spirit. See, there's a lot of things that we try to do on our own. Amen. There's a lot of things that we try to do on our own. Have you reached that place in your life where you can say, God, there's nothing that I can do without you. God, there's nothing that I can do without you. See, there's so many things that we want to happen in our lives, and we think by going out there and killing ourselves, it's going to make it happen. Look here. This all happens through Him. You're not going to put Jesus in the back seat and expect your life to go real great. It's not going to. It's not going to. Unless there's a pure essence of God, I'm going to put you first. There's things that's just not going to work out real great. See, there's nothing that He held back for us. And because of that, He has the right to say, don't hold back anything from me. I want your time. I want your love. I want your affection. I want your life. I want your children. I want your house. See, God wants it all. We get so hung up over, well, you know, God wants this and God wants that. When really, what we need to realize is He wants the whole thing. God wants the whole thing. He wants the things that we're proud of. He wants the things that we're not proud of. He wants our life. He wants our life. And until we can hand it over, we're going to have a very tough go. And it says, through His Spirit in your inner being. In your inner being. There was a time in my life many, many, many years ago. How many of you know when you're living through a milestone in your life because you remember every detail of it? You remember the car you was driving. You remember the place where you was. You remember, sometimes I'm so crazy, I even remember what I was wearing. I remember where I was when such and such happened. See, there are milestones in our lives. And one of mine was, well, I was about 19 years old. That's been a while ago. And I was driving a red Chevy Trailblazer. And I look back on that and I laugh because that vehicle was too big. And why I thought I needed a Trailblazer, I'm not sure. I should have saved that for the season in my life where I had children. I should have drove something cute and little and blah, 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 this and blah, 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 that, because it wasn't the right season for me to drive that vehicle, because you know what? The first thing I did was back up into somebody with it. But anyhow, I remember I was driving to my parents' house. I still lived with them. I like to live with my parents. I know that's not some of people's forte, and some people wanted to hurry up and get out of there, but I enjoyed myself. You know why? Because I didn't have to pay any bills. Somehow, that laundry was done. There was always something to eat. Always. And I enjoyed it. As I was on my way home, and I believe at that point in time, I worked at a clinic, and I was making a curve, and I was reflecting. How many of you reflect when you're driving? That's some of my best self-reflection time. It's when I'm alone and I'm able to drive. And nobody's talking to me and I'm not talking to nobody. And so here I am. And at that point in time, I was very broken. I'd made some very bad decisions, some very bad life decisions. And you know what? I'm going to tell you something. A part of emptiness is when you leave God out of those decisions. If you leave God out of decisions, you're going to come up empty. If you leave God out of those things that He says, I want to be the Lord of Lords in that area. See, when you leave Him out, you're going to be empty. You're going to feel that emptiness. And I had left Him out of some things. Left Him out. And as I took that curve, I began to hear something. It was not the voice of God, and it got all over me, and it says, I just broke your heart. And for several months after that, I had a period of my life where I was very broken. At the end of that, God and I had a little talk, and I was so mad at God. You ever realize how you'll do something silly? You'll leave God out of a big decision. And then when it don't go right, you're mad at God. And you're angry at God. See, that's how we do. We'll go off and we'll make a bonehead decision. Then we'll be mad at God because we heartbroken or it didn't go out right. Now we broke. See, all these things. And God brought something to my memory, and he said, Kelly, I'm a jealous God. I'm a jealous God. I'm not going to have any other gods before me. You're empty because you left me out. You're empty because you let something else come up in there in your heart of hearts. Now, Kelly, you put me first. You put me first. See, emptiness, God doesn't have a life of emptiness for you. He wants you to be full of everything that's good. Every part of who he is, he wants you to be full of that. But see, there's a problem in us all, and there's things that we're very empty over. There are things where, have you ever said, I can't cry one more tear about that. I can't have one more emotion over that thing. What begins to happen after a lot of emptiness is numbness. You get numb. You can't feel God. You can't hear God. Anybody ever have that issue where you just get numb? You feel so far out there. See, God didn't leave because he says, I'll never leave you. We got to get closer in there. Because in that numbness period is when our lives get really messed up. They get really messed up. And it says here, I pray that out of his glorious riches he may strengthen you with power through his spirit in your inner being. In your inner being. There's folks, they've had some things happen, very unfortunate. Look here. There's healing that needs to take place in the inner part of who you are. There are things where when you really get to talking with somebody, and I deal with this all the time, people will talk, and I've learned that if you can be quiet and if you can just let people talk, you'll find out who they are very quickly. And so there's so many people that in their inner person, in their soul, in their heart of hearts, there's some things that they can't let go of. See, there's a healing that needs to take place in the inner parts, in the inner man. We'll hold on to some things. My husband always says, Kelly, you don't know what you ate yesterday, but if I bring up a certain person's name, you'll remember what they said 10 years ago, exactly how they said it, what you was wearing, what shoes you was wearing, what shoes they was wearing, what kind of gum they was choosing when they ticked you off. You'll remember verbatim. See, how is the inner man doing in your life today? How is the inner man doing in your life today? Because, see, look here. God says, I want that inner man healed. I want that inner person healed, healed up. There's people, they've lost loved ones. There needs to be an inner healing. There's people, they've gone through extremely painful divorces. God wants to create an inner healing. See, when God called you, when he chose you, He didn't say, now you got to live with pain for the rest of your life. You don't. And you don't have to live with emptiness either. So to read on, it says, I pray that out of his glorious riches he may strengthen you with power through his Spirit in your inner being, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith. And I pray that you, being rooted. Now let's talk about being rooted for just a moment. Who in here likes to garden or plant flowers? You like it. I like it, but I'm not good at it. I used to have an old house off of Wiggins Drive. When I got there, when we bought the house, it had a pretty little rose bush in the weirdest place. And it was by itself, and I didn't like that. I don't like just one rose bush sitting in a weird place in front of the house. They got to all be the same. They got to all be there. I don't want just one in the middle of the house. It looks funny. So one Saturday, before Jeremy woke up, I thought, I am going to get this rose plant out of there. Because he liked it. He liked it right where it was. And it just wasn't working for me. Because it just looked strange. So I got up in there. And I thought, I'm just going to take it out. I mean, I'm just going to pull on it, and it's just going to come out. Let me tell you something. I worked on that thing all day long. It wasn't coming out. Apparently, rose bushes are very strong rooted. They don't just come out because you want them out. And I got all the tools, and I got all of that stuff, and look here. It wasn't working. And then Jeremy, he kept telling me, you know that's not going to work. Man, you got to dig that thing, dig it. Well, finally, I thought, I know what I'm going to do to you, rose bush. I'm going to get the saw. Scary. So I get the saw. At that point, Jeremy just went back in the house because you've heard the extension cord story. It's scary when I get into the power tools. So I get up in there, and I have exposed the root of this thing. I exposed it, Granny, but I couldn't get the root out. It was just stuck up in there. And I had the biggest hole, and I had been digging for hours. And what I thought was just going to be a quick pull-it-out business became an all-day affair. So I finally got the little chainsaw thing, and I went to town on that thing. And I thought, I showed you. And I got that thing. Look here. We now deliver food to that house because there's an elderly man there. And the other day I drove by, and here's this rose bush. It's still there after 13 years. See, you want that empty feeling to go? Put roots down. You ever rooted yourself up into something you shouldn't have been up in? It's the worst. It's the absolute worst. Because it's going to be painful to get them roots up out of there. See, God didn't call people to be church hoppers. He didn't call people to go from this thing to that thing. He called people to be rooted. He called people to be rooted. See, can just anything pluck you out of where you're supposed to be planted? You know? Now let's read on here. And it says, and I pray that you, being rooted and established in love. Look here. How many of you know that God wants to establish your whole life? You can exist, or you can be full-blown just established. God just lay and bless your life. When God establishes you, Everything that you touch can prosper. Every person that you lay your hands on can be healed. See, what we got to figure out about life is, what do we really want out of life? Do we still want that empty feeling? Or do we want to move on and go with the wholeness of who God is? Now, why are we talking about this today? Well, because when I sat down last night, Rosie, God said, Kelly, let's talk about that empty feeling. You know what? There's situations that I've told God, Lord, I can't cry about that anymore. God, I'm hurting over that still. See, it's that thing that we've let it take root in our heart. How many of you got a situation right now in your life that every time that you think about that thing, your blood's just boiling over it? You're upset about it. See, that's what I'm talking about. That's what I'm talking about. See, right here, what your pastor's doing is we digging at that root. Because look here, God wants to pull that thing up out of your life by the root. Because nothing else is going to work. Not getting a chainsaw and trying to carve away and make it look like it's not there. We live in this world where I'm fine, you're fine, everything's fine. If you don't talk about my dirt, I'm not going to talk about your dirt. We're going to tread real lightly when we go to church. We're going to act like we're all great and religious. We're going to, look here, that ain't working. That ain't working. If it was working, I'd be like, okay. But look here, that ain't working. It's that thing, when you think about that, look here, there are situations right now, I can't even think about them. Because when I think about them, I'm going to go to a place where I don't want to go. When I think about them, I have a lot of pain in those places. When I think about them, there's irritations there. There's, oh, I want to get in the flesh and tell that person what's up. Look here, you best get that thing up by the root and kill it, because it's going to take over. See, that empty thing. Man, when I sat on the couch last night, I just thought, ugh. And God says, what are you feeling right now, Kelly? What are you feeling? And I said, God, I just feel empty. Now, it just got quiet. You know why? Because it just got real. See, when you're by yourself and nobody's around, what's hurting you? What are you thinking of? What is that thing that's inside of there that's just like putting salt in that wound? See, God wants to get to the bottom of that. Why? Because He wants you to be whole. He wants you to live in your best life. And so it says here that you, being rooted and established in love, may have power. May have power. See, it's not enough for God for you to just exist and live a mediocre life where you have just barely enough of this and barely enough of that. God came that you'd have everything that you need, spirit, soul, and body. God came that when you laid your head down at night, that you felt His peace and that you felt His rest. See, God's always trying to look up in that inner man, because that's who you really are. You ever notice when you get really upset about something and you show yourself and you think, ooh, I didn't know I had that in me. You best get that magnifier out and you best look at that place, because there's more where that came from. Amen? There always is. There always is. There's situations in life that are very difficult, that are very hard. But look here. God's got them. God's got those things. God's got those situations. And so it says here that you may have power together with all the saints. Now, God is into people loving on each other. God is into people being social. God is into church family. God is into believers coming together. Why? Because look here, we're supposed to be doing this stuff together. You ever realize how lonely people feel? How many of you have ever felt lonely? How many of you felt lonely this week? Amen. That's why we're talking about this. When you feel real lonely, a lot of times you feel real empty. It's funny how those things go together. The other day, how many of you like to have your own little pity party fits? I have some of the best ones, just me and myself and I. Just depending on which person I wake up with. He's always the same. Jeremy's always the same, but he always looks at me twice and thinking, how is she today? He never knows. But I was walking up the stairs the other day, and I told God, I said, God, I literally have no more tears to even cry about this, but God, I'm still hurting about this. God, I feel empty over this situation. See, there's times in your life where you go through a storm, and that storm was your doing. Do we all know that? Okay. There's times where we go through storms, and we did not bring them on ourselves. But let me tell you something. God will get you whatever kind of storm you're in, he'll get you to the other side of it. And in the process, he doesn't want you feeling empty. He doesn't want you feeling that way. See, there's times where I think about certain things and I have to say, I'm going to not think about that because there's still a lot of hurt there in that situation. See, God will let some things come to the surface. How many of you like chicken and dumplings? You know what a really great ingredient for them things are? Butter. Now, let me just clarify. I thought that I made the best chicken and dumplings. Until a few weeks ago when Granny B. McElhaney made some for my mama. And I go to Dad. Dad goes, you want some chicken and dumplings? And I said, well, I mean, nobody's dumplings are better than mine, but I'll try Granny's. I'm snooty like that. And let me tell you something. I thought, I'm going to try these dumplings because I went over there to take care of Mama. And I left thinking, I ought to come over here more often because Dad cooked me a steak. And we had corn on the cob, and I got to take out some frustration with that little electric knife thing. I corn off the cob, every cob, because that is therapeutic. Yes, it is. And then I looked at those dumplings, and I thought, I'm going to give Granny's dumplings a try. And I got to eat them dumplings, and I looked around. I looked at Mom's plate, and I looked at Dad's plate, and I thought, I wonder if there's any more dumplings. So I got up. And I try not to get seconds of anything because you reach a point in your life where that catches up to you, and I'm there. And so I got over there, and I got me some more of them dumplings. Mmm. Granny, your dumplings are by far better than my dumplings. The next time you cook them, I want to come over because I need to learn that. So, when I cook my dumplings, I really capitalize on butter. Butter and bacon make your life worth the living. There's Jesus, and then there's butter, and then there's bacon. Okay? And I love all three of them. When I cook dumplings, and how many of you know that certain things are better the day after? Dumplings are one of them. I get the biscuits. I don't know how y'all make them, but I get canned biscuits, and I pinch them off, and I put them up in there. That's the only way I know how to. But when Granny invites me over, I'm going to learn a different way, I'm sure. And it's probably going to be better for me. But I get the biscuits that have the butter inside of them. The more butter we can put up in them dumplings, the better they're going to be. And then I put some more butter in there, sticks of butter. And I really get the butter situation going on. And I thought of something, but I'm not going to say it. But it will help your digestive system. If you get caught up and you need help, I will cook dumplings for you. We will take care of other health issues. If you catch my drift. Well, when I cook my dumplings, the day after, when I pull them up out of the fridge, there's a thick layer of hard butter. And it's like stabbing an ice pond or something to chip away this butter. But look here. I think that we're in a season because I keep preaching the same stuff. And I'm like, God, why are we preaching this? God wants to set some people free. There's things that we're held up over, folks. It's time to move on. It's time to get that part of us cleaned up and healed up. Because, see, God has a whole better life. And so God will allow things in your life to rise up to the top, to the very top layer, so God can scoop them up and heal them. Every time I go out to eat, I see the same group of folks, and I'm really hurt. There's a lot of hurt there. And I say, God, why do you keep allowing me to run into these people? Because look here. God's cultivating some ground. He's going to break it up. Okay. Kelly, you're going to be a pastor. You're going to have to work some forgiveness. But you're going to have to practice being healed. You ever talk to something about God? Talk about something to God till you're just blue in the face? I do. I've talked to God so much about this, I said, God, I'm just tired of talking to you about it. I'm just tired of this situation in general. And we get irritable, and we get empty. Let me tell you something. God's bringing some of this stuff to the surface because, look here, He didn't call you to have this life where you're in constant emotional pain. He's letting some things come to the surface. He wants to heal you up. He wants to heal me up. He wants to heal people up from the very top of their head to the very soles of their feet in every single way. And so it says here that we'll have power with all the saints to grasp how wide and long and high and deep the love of Christ is. So many people have disqualified themselves from a great life just because they've had some slip-ups, just because they've had some mess-ups. They think, well, I could never do that because I've messed up. God couldn't use me in that way because of this that I did this time, because of that decision, because of this. This situation can't be right because I messed up here in the middle. Look here. The love that God has for you, you can't measure how wide it is. You can't measure how deep it is. God really loves you. We live in a society where it's become very, you hear, oh, Jesus loves you, and that just means nothing. You ever notice that? Sometimes when I'm ministering to the ladies at the jail, I'll look at them and I'll say, God loves you, and there's nothing there. There's times where I'm ministering to people just out and about, and I'll say, God loves you. There's nothing there. Why is there nothing there? Because they're empty. You ever get to a point where you can't feel love? See, a lot of husbands and wives, they get on this. Yeah, I'm going to go to Medellin. A lot of couples, they say, I can't feel that my husband loves me. I can't feel that my wife loves me. I can't feel this anymore. Look here. And what I want to tell you is this. Love is more than a feeling. It's an existence. He loves you on your best days, and He loves you on your worst days. He's not the God that's looking for reasons to kick you out of the club. He's the God that's looking for every reason to say, hey, come on now. A lot of ministers, they represent God in a very wrong way because they make it like every time you do something wrong, you're kicked out. You're not. God still loves you. God still calls you His own. And so let's keep going. It says here, and to know this love that surpasses knowledge. See, it's so hard to even watch a commercial these days without the commercial being about everything else besides the product. Have you noticed that? Now, personally, I don't like commercials. When I'm ready to watch something, I'm ready to watch it. We were in a hotel for a couple days, and there were some commercials on. My kids go, Mama, there's something wrong with the TV. And I go, well, it's still playing. What's wrong with it? Well, the show went off. So I'm looking. I said, that's a commercial. See, your mama takes such good care of you that you've never experienced commercials. When I was a kid, back in the day, now there was a season of our life where we didn't have TV. I remember when we got our TV, and I was like, changed forever. We used to have these antennas. If you can get it just right, you can pick something up. And you can watch a show. Now, here we are. This love, everything is so, I'm watching to see if we got any kids. Everything in this life is so sexualized. You ever notice that? I was watching a commercial. Dwayne, it was about a hamburger. How many of you love a good hamburger? It's only good if it's dripping down your face. Okay? If it's not dripping, you didn't get a good one. And I was watching this commercial about a hamburger, and there's a half-naked woman on there. And I looked at my boys, and I was thinking, now I don't want them to see this chick half-naked eating this hamburger. See, everything in this world that we live in is very sexualized. That's why we have so much sexual sin. And unfortunately, there's sexual sin in the church, in believers. There shouldn't be. There's sexual sin outside of the church. Nobody wants to talk about sexual sin because we feel like we can't because we have to dance around it. Let me tell you something. There's the Word of God says this love. This love, see, there's a love that God has for you that's different than any other thing that you're going to ever experience. And that's why you let down every time we get into relationships and we think that somebody else is going to fulfill our every little thing. They ain't. They can't. The Word says, this love, this one, this one. So there's a distinction there in the kind of love that God has for us. And it says, and to know this love that surpasses knowledge. There's a love that God has for you you couldn't possibly understand. There's a love that God has for you that we can't even imagine because His ways are so much higher than our ways. Because His thoughts are so much higher than our thoughts. And it says, and to know this love that surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled to the measure of all the fullness of God. See, if you're coming up empty, you need to tap into who God is. Tap into what He says about your life. What does God say about you? Do you know? Have you read the Word? Have you gotten in the Word and say, okay, God says that I'm the head and not the tail. God tells me if I'll cool my jets, I don't have to go out looking for this and looking for that. God's going to bring it right to me. See? And so, we think that we know a lot of stuff. You ever been in a relationship, maybe a friendship, maybe a marriage, maybe a this or maybe a that, but you in some type of relationship, and somebody really pulled a fast one on you, and it left you feeling kind of, eh. You ever had one of them? Let me tell you something. God's not going to do that to you. He's the only one that won't. He doesn't have it in Him. God's exactly who He says that He is. He's exactly who He says that He is. And in verse 20, I love this part because it gets into the meat of what we're talking about today. And it says, now to Him who is able. How many of you know that God is still able? How many of you know that God's still in the miracle business? He's still in the healing business. He's still into turning lives around that were so far gone. Let me tell you something. Now to Him who's able. To Him who's able. So many times in the middle of a moment that we're having, we're depressed, we're sad, we're empty, because there's something that seems so big right in front of us, and we think, I'm not able to fight this fight. I'm not able to fix this. I'm not able to change people's minds. I'm not able to this. But let me tell you something. You serve a God that He's well able, that He's well able, that He's well capable, that He's still doing what He's always done, that He's still on the throne. See, He hasn't gone anywhere. He hasn't went on vacation. And it says, now to Him who is able to do immeasurably more than all we ask, than all we ask. See, you can't measure God. You can't measure Him. We can't measure Him. You have not because you ask not. So many people, they're mad at God. And I'll say, why are you mad at God? Well, because this, and this happened to me in my life. And I'll say, did you ask God? Did you ask Him? Well, no, God knows my heart. Look here. You have not because you ask not. God is able to do immeasurably more than all you could ever ask. And I would encourage you today to ask. If you're here and you say, you know, God, I've got some things emotionally. I feel like I can't take one more moment. I've got some things in a situation. I feel like I just can't take this anymore. I'm going to encourage you, ask God. Ask Him. Ask Him. On vacation, my kids kept asking me for stuff. It's a good sign when your kids ask you for things. You want to know why? Because they believe that you have the power to give it to them. Because they believe you have the power to give it to them. Why do you want to ask? Because look here, God's well able. If you ask for one thing, Dale, what does the Word says? Dale, I'm able to do way more than what you even asked for. You ever see God's glory in a situation and you think, God, that was so much more than I asked you for. You ever been in awe of God and you think, gosh, I was just believing for this little thing right here, but God, you gave me so much more than what I asked for. That's God. That's God. As I sat on the couch last night, I began to just pray over myself. Look here. You can't pray for other people till you can pray for yourself. When you're broken up about some things, you need to lay your hand on your heart and you need to begin to plead the blood of Jesus over yourself. When you're sick, when you're hurting, you need to lay your hands on yourself and you need to tell yourself, now self, we're going to line up with the Word of God that tells me that I can do all things through Christ that strengthens me. You got to lay your hands on that sick part of your body and say, God, in Jesus' name, I tell this body to line up with your Word that says I'm whole, that says I'm healed. I was texting somebody last night. I was praying and God showed me this person. And I said, I'm praying right now that depression leave you right now. See, God will show you things to pray. But until you can pray for your own self, there's your starting point. There's your starting point. Are you coming up empty in some places and you're tired of it? You ever tired of feeling empty about something? I can tell you one thing, Aunt Pat, there's some situations I'm tired of. You ever just get your big girl or big boy pants on, you think, I'm done with that. It starts with you. It starts with you. God wants to give you wholeness. Asking for it. Asking for it. There's nothing that you can ask God for that He's not going to help you with it. That He's not going to come in and make something better. God loves His kids. He absolutely loves you. If you'll ask Him. So many people think, I can't ask God for something because I'm doing wrong. Let me tell you something. Your kids ever asked you for something they've been bad all day? Mine do. Look here. I don't starve them out just because they acted up. I've got living proof in one of them. Everybody's like, you know, you got to pay so much for how old they are when you go to all these places like Branson. They're like, now how old is he? I'm like, he's 5. No, really, how old is he? I'm like, look, he's seriously 5 years old. Look at his father. They're just big, tall people. Amen? So it says now, to him who is able to do immeasurably more than all we ask or imagine. All we ask or imagine. There's people. I believe there's people in here. And when you're by yourself, and you're daydreaming. How many of you still daydream? Good. That's good. Now, as long as you're not daydreaming about smacking somebody, that's not good. If you're doing that, you need to stop. Everybody just had a real big sigh. You can't, you can't do that. But it says that he's able to do immeasurably more than all we can ask or imagine. God will put something in you and you'll think, now how can I do that? And here's the key. You are not. But what you're going to do is let Him do it. Let Him do it. Take all of that pressure. You don't got to make that happen, but what you have to do is you have to let Him do it. Way before we ever started feeding 110 elderly people in Logan County and delivering it to every single individual residence, God showed me cooking stuff in my house. And I thought, Lord, you know I'm not a cook. But he began to show myself doing that. And I thought, for months, I would see that. And I would think, why am I doing all this cooking? The highlight of my week is Monday. Because when we get to take the food to the elderly, God always speaks to me. See, when you in the people business, you get raw and you get numb and you get real quick. And Keisha drives with me, and God always says, Kelly, get out of the car. You go take this one to this one. And every time that I do that, every time that I just get out and I say, here you go, I'll have somebody say something to me, and I'll come back, and I'm just all tore up inside. You know why? Because, see, God wants to talk to us all the time. If there's an empty place in your life, God wants to fill it. See, a couple weeks ago, I was in the negative all day. And on our very last stop, this little lady, I went to knock on the door, and before I could even knock, boy, that door flung wide open. And I thought, whew. I looked at my watch, and I thought, well, we're not late, you know. And she goes, my husband wants you to come up in our house one day next week, and he wants you to preach to him. He's never been into Jesus, but he's asked that you'd come and you'd preach. And I just got all choked up. And I went back to that car, and I said, Keisha, I'm going to have to get myself in check. I've been showing out. See, the devil gets you looking at everything that'll just suck the life out of you. A lot of the emptiness comes from looking around at how we think the situation is. Let me tell you something. Nothing's what it looks like. If something looks like it's so far gone, look here. Give God some time to work some glory in that situation. Nothing's what it looks like. We don't go by what things look like, feel like, taste like. We go off of the Word. I came back in that car, Brother Sam, and God began to just impress upon my spirit, look, Kelly, I sent you here to do something. And if it's to go out on foot and go into people's houses and preach to them individually, know that I put you here for purpose. Stop feeling empty about everything that you don't think's going your way. Because look here, Kelly, we don't want it your way. We want it my way. Amen. And so I'm going to finish up this verse, and we'll be on our merry way. And it says, now to him who is able to do immeasurably more than all we ask or imagine, according to his power that is at work within us. See, the power of God is working within you. Are you going along with that? To him be glory in the church and in Christ Jesus throughout all generations, forever and ever. Amen. Why did we talk about this morning? Because I believe that God wants to take you to a new season where you're happy, not because everything's going right, but because God's given you a sense of deep assurance, deep wholeness. See, there may be some things in your life where you know that, you know what? God, I need some inner healing because there's some things went on a long time ago and I'm still very messed up over them. Those things are holding you back. God don't want you held back. He wants to thrust you forward. I want to also say this morning that no storm lasts forever. Sometimes when you're right up in the middle of it, it looks like it's going to last forever. But let me tell you something. It's not. It's not going to last forever. God's getting you to the other side of it. Y'all stand to your feet. We're going to pray. Lord God, in Jesus' name, Lord, I thank you, God, for every single person. Lord, I thank you, God, that you know the end from the beginning. And God, right now, Lord, I ask for an inner healing in the hearts of your kids this morning. God, if there's things, God, in us, I ask that you search us, God. Lord, show us. Show us those places, God, that you're wanting to work on, that you're wanting to heal. Lord, I thank you for all that you've done. God, I thank you for all that you're going to do. Lord, I thank you for working all things out, God. In Jesus' name, amen.